It isn't about working 18, 20 hours a day to get more. It really isn't. And Jared, you brought this up earlier. It's really about balance. And we live in a 24/7 world. And how do you balance all of this out? And it comes back to, why are we put on this earth? What is our purpose? And then everything centers around that. Proper planning equals peak performance.
Welcome to Star of the Doubts. I'm your host, Jared Easley. Normally we have Chris Murphy in as co-host today, but filling his shoes, and rightfully so, is my good friend Tony Elam from FitDigitalMarketing.com. Tony, welcome to Star of the Doubts.
Hey, thank you for having me on the show.
And you sound great. You're on your ATR 2100 mic, and I'm just thrilled to have you here. And then, of course, our star today, the one that makes us all look good, is someone that should have been on the show ages ago. And the fact that he hasn't been is just poor hosting on my part. Please welcome Steve Cloyda. Steve is from the prospectingexpert.com. Hey, Steve.
It's great to be here, and no worries.
All right.
God's timing when I'm supposed to be on the show.
Well said. So, Steve, you and I have been friends for a while.
Yes.
We've been, you know, online friends. We've hung out in person. We've had Mexican food at conferences, and that's now a hashtag that we use kind of as a joke, but also as a reminder that, hey, that's our hang time.
Yes.
And Steve, there's going to be some people be like, I should know Steve Cloyda. I don't know Steve Cloyda. So let's give them the background, and then let's talk about what some of the things that are going on in your life. But let's start out with the background.
Well, I started out as a stockbroker in 1980. I was a stockbroker for 10 years. In 1990, I started my own company, Telemasters, and set out to work with salespeople to help them get in the door. And I sold the brand in 2010. I rebranded myself as the Prospecting Expert. And what I do is I help salespeople get in the door because, let's face it, nothing happens till you get in front of a prospect. And that could be either over the phone, over a Skype call, or face-to-face. And it's one of the biggest challenges that salespeople face today is getting the prospect's attention.
All right. So, Steve, I'm going to put you on the spot here for a moment. I'm going to put Tony on the spot. Steve, you're so good at being able to help people with various scenarios. So, Tony, let's talk about your business and what you're working on and lead generation. And then, Steve, I'd love to hear your opinion. If Tony, if you'd be willing to share with Steve what's going on with you.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a solo practitioner. I mean, it's just me. And so I do marketing, but I do the sales. And then when I get the sales, I come back and I implement, you know, WordPress, email marketing, social media. And, you know, I like doing all the technical aspects, but also trying to figure out how to put systems into place. And then I find out, hey, I haven't done any sales. So, you know, I don't mind getting in. Actually, I probably enjoy doing the sales, but how do you deal with that end of it? Or do you, that's probably my biggest struggle. Then I don't even get to the part with the sales. So that's
exactly. It is a common problem that I've worked with thousands of salespeople on. If you had the cure for cancer, how many cancer patients would you approach every day? Everybody, right?
Right.
All of them. Exactly. Here's where most salespeople drop the ball. We, you know, like yourself, you're a solo practitioner, you're wearing multiple hats. Here's what happens is we don't actually block out time to prospect. So it starts with number one, a prospecting calendar. You have to identify how many hours during the week, whether it's 1 hour, 5 hours, 10 hours, you have to identify how many hours you want to invest into growing your business. Number two, you have to create a prospecting calendar where you actually block out time, just like we did for this podcast. If we didn't block out time for this podcast, it wouldn't happen. And then number three, you have to prioritize what I call your prospecting gold list. And we're working with 12 prospects at all times. That should help.
All right. So you're working with 12. So if I might be a little naive here, Steve, but does that mean you have 12 different organizations that you're looking to approach? Is that what that means?
Yes. So it could be 12 different organizations. It could be 12 individuals. Why 12? Because it's an easy number to manage. I think Jesus showed us that with the 12 disciples. I can't manage more than 12. So when one falls off and becomes a client or decides to go someplace else, I put another prospect on. So I'm constantly having people to approach.
Tony, I'm just curious, how do you potentially prospect now How do you determine if someone might be a good fit for what you're offering?
Well, I mean, you know, I have referrals, and then I'm starting to realize that the referral aspect is, you know, my current way of working with referrals isn't the best because they don't fully understand what I do, and I'm constantly having to earn the business after the sale. So I need to implement my own methods. So blocking time to, you know, really put me on the spot, Jared.
You're welcome.
By simply educating is my best method of what I would like to do is block time to educate people before and serve them before by saying here is how you implement my own techniques and then earn the sale that way, which I don't do because I simply went out and, you know, I went into groups and earned people face to face. That's how I got my clients now. Just going into groups and there's local groups that I'm a part of. And so that, because the face-to-face earns the trust the quickest, but you know, they don't really understand online marketing. They don't understand. And that's where all the eyeballs are. So
maybe prospecting for you or prospecting calendar is you making time to go to those meetups, you making time to be in those groups and making time to ask for those referrals. And I'm sure there's others too.
Yeah, because
right,
they instantly get that I know what I'm doing, but the problem is they don't fully understand what it is they need to do. And so I need to go back to doing the online marketing and earning customers that way. So it's just kind of a hybrid method that I need to do to get sales in the door today and sales in the door tomorrow. So
let me give you an example of the best way to educate your prospects or your customers. And this is the hardest part for every salesperson, in my opinion. And it came from in 2001, Steve Jobs stood on stage, pulled a little white device out of his pocket, and he said, 1,000 songs in your pocket. Okay. He didn't call it an MP3 player. So there's a little formula that I've developed from that 1,000 songs in your pocket. I call it the is, does, and means. So I'm going to put you on the spot, Tony. All right.
Okay.
So first of all, what is it? It is an iPod. What does it do? It plays music. What does it mean to me? It means that I can carry 1,000 songs in my pocket and I don't have to carry around hundreds of CDs. So let's apply the same thing to your business. What is it?
Its ability to deliver a message across multiple platforms.
Okay. And what does it do? In other words, what pain are you eliminating, reducing, avoid, remove, and diminish for your potential client?
Yeah, I think I need to do some more personal research on that, but I think I'm eliminating confusion.
Okay, all right, that's a great start. Confusion,
because I think they know how to do it locally with local business clients. They know the old methods, but they don't know how to do the same thing. And they also, you know, for instance, a lot of my clients, a lot of the better ones anyway, they use a lot of technical jargon to speak to their clients, and their own clients don't understand what it is they do, or the message isn't clear. So it's not positioned in such a way. So their websites, you know, don't position their homepage isn't effectively positioned in such a way to where it communicates, you know, what it is they do. Right.
Exactly. So. And the third part of this is what does it mean to your prospect? In other words, what do you help them increase, expand, maximize, strengthen, and build up? And those three things, what is it, what does it do, and what does it mean? That's the hardest thing that salespeople have, or entrepreneurs like yourself or us, to really define those three things. So our message is clear. If you go to my website, it's very, very clear. Your guide to get in the door. I have identified the number one problem that salespeople experience, and that is getting in the door. And I eliminate all the confusion, all the objections, all of that other stuff. And we could talk about this for hours.
Steve, I do want to hit on this for a moment. And yeah, one of the things that I know is not the fun part of sales is, you know, making those uncomfortable steps, right? Those calls,
yes,
or whatever it is that you got to do. And I'm curious how you've overcome that hurdle in your own sales career.
Well, when you think about it, our prospects come from a variety of sources. All right. So when we identify where our prospects come from, then the next thing is we have to identify the purpose of the approach. And the purpose of the approach is to keep the purpose of the approach the purpose of the approach. Now, how many of us experience call reluctance? 80% of all new salespeople fail because of call reluctance. Now, when we were growing up, who did our parents tell us never to talk to?
Strangers.
Isn't that interesting? Who are we approaching? Even though we got a really good referral, Tony, at a networking event, we've got the person's name and number, and now we go back to our office and our stomachs start to churn and all of that stuff, and we recall subconsciously what our parents told us never to do. And it comes back to, if you had the cure for cancer, how many cancer patients would you approach? So, right. Jared, you asked me, how do I overcome this? I've experienced call reluctance my entire life. I've made over 250,000 prospecting calls in the past 30 years. And many, many years ago when I started my business, I was really struggling. And this solved everything for me. Genesis 2:8. This is what it says. God planted a garden and then he made it grow. Up until that point, God spoke everything into existence. But then in Genesis 2:8, he says, God planted a garden and then he made it grow. All we have to do as entrepreneurs is plant the seeds, whether that means going to a networking event, sending out an email campaign, canvassing, asking our existing customers for referrals. That is our entire responsibility, is the attempt. We don't have to worry about making it grow.
Well said, Steve. All right, I'd like to transition here briefly. Well, maybe not briefly, but transition and talk about some of the challenges that you've run into this last year.
Yes.
Steve, you and I have been friends, and you know, I've always had tremendous respect for you, but then all of a sudden, you know, you have some things that happen and it's like, wow, man, it's a big eye opener, and some good things have come from it. But I was hoping you'd be willing to share that story.
I would be happy to share that story. On Friday, July 8th, my doctor told me that I had a tumor in my colon and it was cancer. And in a blink of an eye, my entire life changed. When you hear the word cancer, there is a tremendous amount of fear, anxiety, and death associated with that word. So I had surgery on Tuesday, August 9th. I was released from the hospital on August 14th. This is my first week back to work. I have been cleared. I've been home resting for the past several weeks. Two major challenges from this. One, physically, and I expected to be a certain amount of physical. I mean, there were times that I couldn't get out of bed and walk 10 feet without getting winded and without being exhausted. Just getting out of bed in the morning and taking a shower was a real challenge. Now, the surgery was a huge, huge success. And the doctor told me, because of my faith, my family, prayers, and God guiding his hand throughout the surgery, it was a success. The cancer was removed. None of my organs were affected. The CT scan is clean, and I am so grateful for that. But still, so I had the physical challenge, and now I'm back to, you know, I'm walking an average of 2 miles a week. I feel tremendous. I've got my energy back. No chemo, none of that stuff. But the other part of this challenge was the mental challenge. And just, you know, I've been driven my entire life for the past 36 years. You know, I haven't taken off more than 10 days in the past. Well, every year I take some vacation. But to lay on the couch day after day after day for 5-6 weeks, it was really challenging. So then all the voices start over. You know, oh, you're a loser. You're washed up. This is as good as it's going to get. You know, you're never going to get healed. And it was a real challenge. And I think the biggest challenge for all of us, everybody that's listening to this podcast, the biggest challenge for all of us is the space between our ears. There were days that I was depressed, and I don't get depressed. And it was like, now what? And then the boredom, you know, you can only read so much. You can only watch so many movies. And because I've been driven my entire life, it was very hard for me. But the doctor made it really clear that he wanted me to rest from all of my work, my body and my mind. And I haven't done this for over 30 some years. And I'll tell you something, and as crazy as this sounds, this has been one of the greatest blessings of my life. Now, would I want to go through this again? No, it was the biggest physical challenge that I've ever experienced. I'm not saying that the cancer was a blessing, because it wasn't. But what was a blessing was the outcome of what I went through. first of all, the mental part of it, because, you know, we all get up every single day. There's a certain amount of fear that we have. There's a certain amount of anxiety. Are we going to make it? But the blessings that have come from this is that, you know, a couple of people have asked me over the past several weeks, what have I learned in all of this? And I'll tell you, it's really simple. I have this moment in time right now with you, Jared, and you, Tony. I can choose to be here with you right now, or I could be mentally someplace else. Right now, I'm not thinking about yesterday. I'm not thinking about tomorrow. I'm not thinking about what I'm going to eat for lunch. Life is so precious. We need to stop complaining. Life happens so fast. We have to enjoy it for all it's worth. You know, I used to get whipped up about the stupidest thing. And right now, I really don't care. Now, I don't mean that in a negative way, because I do care. I do care deeply about my family, my friends, the people that I've served and what I've devoted the last 30 years of my life to. But everything else is meaningless. It just doesn't matter. How about that person that cut you off on the freeway this morning on your way to work? We all need to take a chill pill. And fear, you know, I used to be afraid about a lot of things. Let me tell you something. When you stare death in the face, you see, going into this surgery, I had a tremendous amount of peace. You know, the peace that comes from Jesus Christ. There's nothing in the world that can help you with what you're going through. So the peace that came through Christ. Now, so going into the surgery, I had a tremendous amount of peace. But you don't know what's going to happen on that table. You don't know if you're going to wake up. I mean, all sorts of things can happen. And it's just, you know, it's my wife and I, we go out for a walk every single day. And she said it best. She said, Steve, we have a whole new lens in which to look at life through. And everything has changed. And I'm just a blessed man because of it.
Steve, I haven't had to go through what you've gone through, but I certainly can identify with having a perspective that's limited.
Yes.
And so what's your encouragement to people that might be in that situation?
Focus on that. You have this moment in time. And the encouragement is that, okay, it goes back to, if you had the cure for cancer, how many people would you approach? And everybody has a cure. Every one of us on this planet is unique. So maybe your gift is encouraging other people. Maybe your gift is helping them with their email marketing. Maybe your gift is helping them with their podcast. Maybe your gift is to lift people up around you. Maybe your gift is to help organize other people or help people with their operations. Whatever it is, we've all been gifted with something. And it's important to focus on that, on what you bring to the marketplace. And it isn't about me. It's about the people that I serve. And that motivation every day for me has changed tremendously since I got the word on July 8th.
And Steve, if you don't mind, I want to add that.
Absolutely.
I've gone through a period that I went through something similar with a health issue. And I went through a period that kind of very similar towards that end, where I started questioning a lot of things and the kind of went through that same period. It wasn't cancer, but it was through with epilepsy, and just kind of didn't realize, you know, at the age of 40, I was kind of going through that same period that you described. And I think it's, you know, I'm kind of starting to realize I went through that period of kind of questioning everything and watching movies. It's kind of interesting to hear you describe it from the outside. And maybe it's important to say that, maybe, you know, even though I think people are going to do it anyway, I think it's important maybe to realize people, even if they're, maybe people shouldn't beat themselves up so much. Maybe it is important to go through that phase.
It is.
And I personally got to a point where I realized, boy, that did me no good. You know, I mean,
exactly.
Maybe it did, but I mean, you know, but I kind of realized, okay, I don't want to be here any longer, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But and so now I got out and I started exercising a little bit and I started moving and I realized what I wanted a little bit more. I still have a lot to figure out and you know, business wise and things, but I kind of had more clarity about what I wanted. But I did beat myself up and I thought, man, I don't know anything any longer, things like that. But it's really interesting. But at the same time, people really don't share enough, and you kind of think you're the only one, even though you know that intellectually, you know, that's not true.
Right.
It's amazing how kind of in a self-inclusive sort of mentality you can get.
Well, you know, and it whether it's cancer, epilepsy, or whatever the health issue that, you know, we all face from time to time, it's okay to feel the, we're not supposed to be upbeat all the time. It's unrealistic. Right. And it was okay for me to feel that. And I really like what you said. You felt it, Tony, but then you made a decision. Okay, enough is enough. Let's move on. You know, I think Robert Louis Stevenson said it better than anybody. We've all been dealt our hand. It's how you play the hand that's important, all right? You've been dealt what you've gone through. I've been dealt. Jared, I'm sure you've had issues or are going to go through issues. It's how you play your hand. Are you going to get back up on the horse and continue to ride with the gifts that you have? And there's no guarantees. I mean, there are no guarantees. I just live life completely differently than I used to 2 months ago.
Steve, I wanted to ask you this about, we're talking about being proactive and but also that balance of faith as well. And I wanted to hear your perspective on that is at one point you need to trust God and yes. You need to have faith. But on the other hand, you need to be making things happen. So what has that balance been for you or what are your opinions on that?
Well, my opinion is that, you know, in the beginning, God put Adam and Eve in the garden. And the first task that he gave Adam was to take care of the garden and name all the animals. We're supposed to be productive. We're not supposed to lay around 365 days a year. We are productive people. And having been productive my entire life, that 5 week stretch was so hard. And I'm just so grateful that I was able to go back to work this week. My mind is engaged, you know, and I feel really good about that. Did I answer your question? I got off on a little tangent there. I apologize.
But no, I think it can be, you know, seasons where I've planted seeds and now I'm not necessarily weary, but just, I guess maybe tired. And it's like, man, now I need to harvest, but the harvest isn't quite there yet.
Well,
so
we have to rest.
I'm sure there's other people that deal with that.
I mean, we have to rest. I mean, it can't be 24/7. We have to rest so the body and the mind can rejuvenate itself. I've never been so clear in my life as I am at this moment in time.
It's so easy, though, in our culture to think, well, I'm not allowed to rest. I have to go, go, go. I have to sell, sell, sell. I have to perform, perform, perform. And so, yeah, I guess what lessons have you learned about rest going through what you've experienced?
Well, I talked to another cancer patient 3 weeks ago that had exactly the same type of cancer that I had. And she recommended a book for me. It's called The Seven Pillars of Health by Dr. Don Colbert, Colbert. And the first pillar of health, and I'm just in the book now, I'm only about 100 pages into it. It's like 900 pages on an iPhone. But the first pillar is water. We don't drink enough water. We have to stay hydrated. Number two is rest. It's amazing how much rest we don't get. Half of this country is living on borrowed time. They're not getting enough sleep. So, you know, it comes back to what I said earlier, Tony, about blocking out time to prospect. We need to block out time to rest. I mean, God worked 6 days and he rested one. I mean, I think that's a great example.
All right, we're gonna transition here. Sometimes we do headlines. I don't think we're going to have enough time to do any headlines today. You got a headline, Steve?
Because and I didn't know it was going to tie into this. I really didn't know it was going to tie into this. I watched an interview on Bloomberg News the other day. It came out on September 9th. They were interviewing Chris O'Neill, the new CEO of Evernote. And this is what he said. Productivity is under assault. We are obsessed with productivity. So I went out and did a search on that, on productivity. All right. And this is what I came up with. I did a search on Google. I did a search on Twitter. And here's a mentality out there that says this. The goal is to work less and make more. Do you wish you could work less hours and make more money? 9 ways to work less and make more money in your homemade business. How I managed to work less and make more this month. It's a lie. And I'm going to say it flat out. It's a lie. Ask Gary Vaynerchuk what he thinks about those headlines. Ask Steve Jobs. Ask Thomas Edison. Ask Henry Ford. Ask Winston Churchill. Now, there is a balance to all of that. And we talked a little bit about that balance that we need to rest. But there's a lie in the marketplace that says, hey, I can work very little and I can make a ton of money. I can't even fathom that. Now, there's another side of it. Okay, I'm going to shut up right there. I'll let you respond to that headline. And because there's another side to it.
Tony, do you have any thoughts
on working less and making more?
Making more, yes.
Well, I mean, I unless you include the idea that, I mean, I don't, you know, I don't think the people that are making 10 times the money that I'm making are working 10 times harder. So, I mean, the idea that you're probably having to leverage systems.
Yes.
You're also employing more people, which includes more responsibility. So it's not like the maybe the idea that you're, you know, lying on the beach somewhere necessarily, but it all comes out in the wash probably. You're probably working, putting it in somewhere.
You know, the image of the beach, you know, laying on the beach and collecting money. Gary Vaynerchuk made a comment about that. Yeah, there are some people out there that are very successful with passive income.
Yeah. I think that's well established, probably.
Right.
So, but I'm not sure.
I think
I'd agree with you.
Yeah, there are some people that are very, very good at that. But why am I blanking on his name? Pat, what's his last name?
Pat Flynn.
Do you think he works 5 hours a week? I highly doubt it.
No, and he even says at the beginning of his podcast, you know, work hard now to reap the benefits later. Go. So it's that reap what you sow mindset. Yeah, I think you can have systems in place and you can get smarter at what you're doing over time that does increase your productivity, but that doesn't come naturally. I think that comes with work and experience.
Exactly. But, and that's the other side of it.
Yeah. I think probably the pendulum needs to swing the other way, though. The idea that, you know, to some level that, you know, I'm not a big fan of the word hustle to a degree. I think perseverance and working on an idea. I mean, I know hustle in the right context. I get it. But the idea of just hustling with no skill, but the idea of taking a single idea that you know has been validated and is going to work and just working it until it scales. But most people are hustling with no, I don't know what I'm looking for exactly yet. And that's why I didn't.
With no direction.
Or, you know, no like combined sets of skills.
Well, that said, Tony, I don't mean to interrupt, but I have heard the phrase ABC, action brings clarity. Ooh, and I think there's some truth to that. So, yeah, you might be spinning your wheels, but hopefully in the spinning of the wheels, you're learning what works and what didn't. So I can relate to that person that might feel like they're spinning their wheels because I felt that way before. Yep. But it helped. And I know, Steve, you've probably gone through that at one point.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, Jim Rohn said it better than anybody. If you have an idiot, you motivate him. Now you got a motivated idiot. He said that many years ago. You know, I love Jim Rohn. You know, he passed away a few years ago. But, you know, I like that. Action brings clarity. Yeah, you can only flail around for so long till you get. And that's why I talked about earlier about the purpose of the approach is to keep the purpose of the approach or the purpose of the meeting. Now, there's another side to all this. All right. And doing my search, the 5 morning rituals to make each day happier and more productive. I like that. See, there's truth in that. 3 lists to freedom to boost productivity and grow your business. Increase your productivity and challenge your thinking. They're not promising riches. They're promising clarity. They're promising discipline. So that's my 2 cents. I had to throw it in there, Jared. I'm sorry.
I love it. Now that you've opened up that can, I'm going to go ahead. I wasn't going to, but here's a headline. I'd love to hear Tony's thoughts and, of course, hear what you have to say as well, Steve. This is talking about the TV show America's Got Talent. And I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with that show. America's Got Talent triumphs ahead of summer finale. And the gist here is with the arrival of Simon Cowell being one of the judges, NBC contest enters finals with best ratings in 5 years. And so we'll start with you, Steve, and then we'll work our way over to Tony. I'm just curious, what's a quick story where you've had to introduce something to the equation because it wasn't quite working, but then you had a better result because you had to pivot?
Well, I think it comes back to taking a risk. I mean, introducing a new idea, I'll give you an example. I built my company over 20 years, and I sold the brand, and I got feedback and comments from people that said, "What are you doing? Are you crazy? You've spent 20 years building this brand. Everybody knows you as Mr. Telemaster, and you're going to sell the brand?" I sold the brand because I knew I had to change. So I renamed the company. I rebranded myself as the Prospecting Expert. That was a big risk. And as a result of that, my ratings have gone through the rough. You go out and search on Google prospecting tips, prospecting strategies. There's over 250,000 searches a month for that one key word. So I don't know if that relates to what you were saying.
I think it does. Tony, what's your thoughts on the having to shake things up?
Well, I mean, I just, you know, hate to bring Gary Vaynerchuk back into the picture, but I just read this morning where he said that if you're romantic about the way you make your money, then I can't remember exactly what he said, but you just don't be romantic about the way you make your money. So, I mean, but I, you know, I have a client that asked me the other day that if I would be willing to entertain the idea of doing recording. I do a lot of recording as a way to create marketing material, and asked if I'd do standard operating procedures for him. So record new hires as they train new hires for him. And at first, my first thought was, no, I don't want to do that. And then I got to thinking about it, and I thought, well, why wouldn't I want to do that? And it's a great way to learn the company, because I like working with out-of-the-box thinking companies rather than the standard trade stuff, you know, like the typical local services. So it's a lot of investment on my part. And so it's a great way to learn them. They get stock footage on how to train every new hire they get, which makes it easier to run their company. And it's a great way for me to learn how their company works, which is a sneaky way of getting marketing material. And so, which allows me to create another product. So if you haven't figured out by now, I'm relatively small potatoes, but I think this is kind of a neat idea. I've got several, it's created a lot of new ideas for me. So about, this is kind of, and I've been asking around, this is some insights, you know, and I've already got a lot of ideas about how to make it easy for them to consume repeatable processes, and which I think would be helpful for me also. So, you know, and how to make things simpler for me to do to get more done in a day. So I don't know, it's a new idea. And for me anyway.
Steve, I wanted to hear what your thoughts are on Simon Cowell.
Well, I don't have a TV. I haven't had TV for almost 10 years, but I have seen the show from time to time. You know, the thing I really, when I have seen him, and I know a lot of people will post things on Facebook, you know, some people that were really talented and so forth. The thing that I like about the guy is he's not afraid to speak his mind. If he doesn't like something, he's going to tell you he doesn't like it. I mean, you look at his facial expressions, you know, and they really built the show around him. And obviously they've brought another talent on the panel and so forth. But I don't know enough about the show to speak intelligently, only what I've seen, you know, out on Facebook and stuff.
I think we can understand how you've been so productive the last 10 years is by not having a TV.
So. I miss football, though. I miss, you know, my mother-in-law.
Oh, my goodness.
Coming back, and we go over on Sundays to watch football. So,
rightfully so. Yeah. All right. So Steve, I mean, I could talk to you for another hour. I won't keep you. But as we wrap up here, first of all, thank you, Tony, for being a part of this. Tony Elam from FitDigitalMarketing.com. And then, of course, we've got Steve Cloyda from theprospectingexpert.com. Steve, would you be willing to share any final thoughts?
Yes, I would. And Tony, you brought it up about Gary. I don't put Gary Vaynerchuk, Steve Jobs, Thomas Edison, Henry Ford, Winston Churchill. I don't put these people up on a pedestal. I don't agree with, you know, Gary's philosophy, the word hustle. You go through cancer and it changes your perspective on everything. It isn't about working 18, 20 hours a day to get more. It really isn't. And Jared, you brought this up earlier. It's really about balance. And we live in a 24/7 world. And how do you balance all of this out? And it comes back to, why are we put on this earth? What is our purpose? And then everything centers around that. Proper planning equals peak performance.
Man, I needed to hear that today, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you. Tony, it was a pleasure meeting you.
Yeah, same here. And thanks, Jared, for having me on the show.
God planted a garden and then he made it grow. All we have to do as entrepreneurs is plant the seeds, whether that means going to a networking event, sending out an email campaign, canvassing, asking our existing customers for referrals. That is our entire responsibility, is the attempt. We don't have to worry about making it grow.